is good. I must make sure I don't step on that shiny light right there. Thank you. Thank you, Desmond.
Am I on? Okay. Turn me down. Okay. All right. Good afternoon, church. I've had a very interesting time over the last month. In fact, I've actually been under quite a lot of attack. Last week it was a bit overwhelming, to say the least, but at the same time, God is good and his grace is sufficient. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, Father God, that you have called us. You have called us from a place of darkness into a place of light. And I thank you, Father, for the transforming effect that you're having on us. I thank you for your sanctification and where you're taking us to. Father God, I ask that you open our eyes, you open our minds, and you let us know where we're going wrong so that we may finish the race, oh Father God, and we may become just like what you want us to become. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Is this on? Okay. What I was going to preach about suddenly changed quite late, so that's just how it goes sometimes. I would like to really, okay, let's just start from here, see how much I can get through of this. Okay, this picture here actually is part of a vision for the church. And it actually shows people going up a mountain, and you've got still people in the water who are in the darkness. And we're meant to go up to the mountain to be sanctified enough such that when we come back down for people, okay, we're attractive to them, and we share the gospel with them, we pull them out of the darkness, and we actually help them up. So that is like a picture of the Great Commission. But there are sometimes things about us that don't look attractive to the people in darkness, because sometimes we haven't really transformed. Sometimes we're playing church. And there's particular habits about us that aren't quite right. And today I want to just go through something. And what we're going to be discussing today is this: showing love without partiality. Because sometimes we have favorites. We like to talk to certain people and avoid certain people. We want to do things where we judge people by what we see rather than what they are. We judge people by how the world pigeonholes them into particular places. And one verse that came to mind immediately as the Lord put this on my heart to share was, if you remember, in back in the day with Israel, when Samuel was the high priest, Israel actually wanted a king. They first chose Saul, and then the Spirit of the Lord came from Saul, and Samuel was actually told to go to the house of Jesse. And when Samuel got there, he was speaking to all of the sons of Jesse, and this is what the Lord had said. Sorry. What's happening here? Okay, all right. In verse 7 of chapter 16, he said, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Now, if we are to become more and more like Jesus, should we not be looking at the heart as well? Another said, there are sometimes we make judgments on things by what we see physically rather than what is in the heart of a person. What kind of things would you say we assess a person on? Because we do make these judgments. Sometimes there are even people who are begging for stuff and we avoid them, and sometimes we should actually approach them. But what would you say? What other things that you can say? I'll actually go through some of them what I thought of. Sometimes we judge people by nationality, race, sexuality, religion, and the denomination. We judge people by profession, school, university, by how they look, what car they drive, where they live, skin complexion. All of these bits and pieces of foolishness by what the world says is good, bad, or indifferent. And what does that really produce? Where you have partiality, you have prejudice, bias, bigotry, chauvinism, discrimination, unfairness, injustice, intolerance. You also have predisposition, inclinations, tendency, and the big five that we know about quite a lot is racism, sexism, fascism, nationalism, and homophobia. Where in that list do you see love? Where do you see the love of God in someone? And I'm saying to you that at times we are being partial where people are concerned, and we're the church. If you remember, we have a great commission. If you look in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations," not some, of all the nations, "baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." This is our job. It's not Freddie's job. It's not my job. It's not Texas' job. It is our job, the church. And we have to be in a place that we can share the gospel. Another part that was actually said in Mark, okay, was, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." So the way how we carry on could actually matter to many people who's being saved or not being saved. Because if they're not being saved, they're going to hell. It's that simple. We can't, there is no in between. There is no ghost that's going to be haunting around. You're either going to be in hell or you're going to be with the Lord Jesus. And it's that simple. And we have a job to do. Now, where partiality is concerned, I want to take some knowledge from the scriptures of James. I'm not going to read all of this, but I'll actually read most of it. James chapter 2 says, "My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings in fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man with filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, 'You sit here in a good place,' and say to the poor man, 'You stand there,' or 'Sit here at my footstool,' have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" Then goes on to say, "Listen, my beloved brethren, have God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the court? Do they," this is the rich, "not blaspheme that noble name, Jesus, by which you are called?" And I just thought here, seller, What James is actually saying here is that the rich have a tendency to blaspheme the noble name by which we are called, but we give them preference. And not only outside the church, but inside the church. If for some reason, I don't know, T.D. Jakes came in here today because he just wanted to go to a local service, would someone clear a chair for him in the front? I wouldn't. If for some reason he was coming here to preach or be part of our service, that's another thing. But I'm not going to give him something that I'm not going to give anyone else. Because it's not my church. It belongs to God. And we must not show partiality with anybody. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. But sometimes we actually do these things for joke. We carry on as if it doesn't matter. But the word clearly says that it does. Verse 12. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So what is that really saying? Partiality is equal to judgment and sin, whereas mercy is equal to love and righteousness. We must always be in a position where we give people the benefit of the doubt. Now, this isn't something new. Yes, it was written by James in the New Testament, but all of these things were already written. If you remember, we've been going through the Ten Commandments, and Freddie rightly came out with the first four commandments is about the love of God, and the last six is about loving your neighbor as yourself. The first one, about loving God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your strength, was actually first written in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. But what we have, I'll actually take you to Leviticus 19, because Leviticus 19 is where you first see the law that says, love your neighbor as yourself. I'll actually read some verses from before, from verse 14. You shall not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. In righteousness, you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. And we go into verse 18, which says, you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people. Thanks very much, Shirley. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So why do we do these things? What is the cause why we start being partial? Because you see, sometimes what I actually see is we pigeonhole people. And we pigeonhole ourselves. Someone may say, oh, you're a Christian. What denomination do you belong to? Oh, I'm an Anglican. I'm a Baptist. I'm Church of God. Me Adventist. And what it actually is, what that then means is that you are having people define you. If you have been saved by faith through grace, then it's now God who calls you what you should be, not people. There is nowhere in the word that says, now, because you are saved, you are now a Baptist, you are now Pentecostal, you are now this, that, or the other. What does the word say? The word makes it clear that I'm accepted, I'm secure, and I am significant. John 1:12, I am God's child. John 15:15, as a disciple, I am a friend of Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1, I have been justified and declared righteous. Romans 8, I am free from condemnation. I am assured that God works for my good in all circumstances. Colossians 3, 1-4, I am hidden with Christ in God. Philippians 1:6, I am confident that God will complete the good work that he has started in me. John 15:5, I am a branch of Jesus Christ, the true vine and the channel of his life. It's the creator that defines who we are. It's him who has the power. We actually have a situation. Do any of you remember the boxing match last Sunday? Tyson Fury versus the Gypsy, he was the Gypsy King versus Deontay. I forgot, Deontay Wilder? Okay, all right. Check this. There are some people who would like Deontay to win because he's black. There are some people who wanted Tyson to win because he's white. Let's actually be honest about this, okay? Listen, by definition, those people are racist. Just as if I want England to win, I'm a nationalist. Okay? Now, I don't know if you remember our friend Jim Ceci. Okay? When he comes here, there's a couple of things that he says all the time. One of them is this. Even though I have family here, here, and here, I have more in common with you through the blood of Christ than I have with my own blood. Now, Tyson Fury. He's made some mistakes in his life, but when he was hounded by a reporter, you know what his answers were? Jesus Christ is Savior of the world. And he was hounded about something else. There's only one God, God in heaven. I only fear him. Deontay, I have a power in me. I think it's ancestral power. Okay? All of a sudden, listen, first of all, I'm speaking to some of you black folk here who actually think, yeah, Deontay, black man, yeah, man, beat him up, beat him down. Partiality on what you see is deceiving. We have to find the people who worship the living God. These are the people who are our brothers and sisters. Do you remember when Jesus was in a room and someone said, oh, Jesus, your mother and your brothers are here. And Jesus said, who are my mother and brother? What was the answer? Oh, no, don't know. What are you coming here for? He who does the will of God, it is that person that is my brother. All right. Let me get back to this. Okay. Let me actually mention to you some other parts about partiality in the Bible. Do you remember Acts chapter 10, when Peter had a vision where a curtain came down from heaven, and what was coming down from all four corners was all kinds of beasts and creepy things and reptiles and birds, and these were practically animals that in Leviticus it actually said to the Jewish people, do not eat. Like, don't eat pork. Yes, don't eat squid. Don't eat, I don't eat none of that anyway, but but a voice came down to Peter and actually said, kill and eat. And Peter was like, surely not, Lord. I have never eaten these foods, i.e. he had been following the Levitical diet. Now, this kill and eat, by the way, some people claim that this is a verse that people should use to eat anything. It's not, because it's a dream, and the revelation of that dream is something else. There are many verses that do say you can eat anything, but this isn't one of them, because you need to know the meaning of the dream, okay? In verse 28, this is what was actually said after all of that happened. Then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. For the dream was not about food. The dream was about Jews and Gentiles. Because he had to go to Cornelius' house and speak and preach to Gentiles that were then converted and the Spirit of God came upon them. Yeah? Okay. He actually had a synopsis as well in Acts 11. Okay, I'm only going to read a couple of these verses. Now the apostles and brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision, i.e. Jews, contended with him, saying, You went into uncircumcised men and ate with them. So they were of the kind to say, because this is what it said in Leviticus, you see, they forget what the promise was made to Abraham about faith, okay? You ate with them. So Peter thought that he had to explain himself. So then he actually told them everything about the vision. And in verse 16, it says, then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? When those of the circumcision actually heard this, they became silent and they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. Now, Peter was actually taught that he was being partial by God. Agreed? Mm-hmm. Okay. So Peter should have learned by what God has said. Did he actually learn? Well, more than likely eventually. But if you go to Galatians chapter 2 and you read from 11 to 21, I'm not going to go through all of these, but it's very, very poignant, but I do read some of the verses here. Okay? Now, when Peter had come to Antioch, I, with Paul, withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. Now, Antioch was one of those places. In fact, that's actually where he met Cornelius before. Okay, so therefore, they had a large congregation of Gentile Christians. So Peter, from Acts 10, started to eat with the people in Antioch. No problem. Okay? Right, let me just read on from here. Where am I? Withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. So sometimes people give preference because of a fear of a certain type of company. Verse 13. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. I've just actually written a little thing here, Sella, something you need to think about. When you're partial, when you are discriminatory, it's actually infectious. When you behave in a particular manner, there are many other people who will always follow you. Always. Do you know people like this? You know, sometimes you sit down and you're speaking to someone and everything's cool and you're having a nice old chat. All of a sudden, they're around some other people and it's like they're wiping you off the bottom of their shoe. What did we used to call them back in the day? Toothiest. Carry on in a particular way, and once you're around your friends, you carry on like I don't know you. This is exactly what Peter was doing. Let's read on. But when I saw that they were not straightforward, in the King James it says, that they walked not uprightly about the truth of the gospel. And listen, if you don't walk uprightly about the truth of the gospel, believe it or not, you are living another gospel. Paul says later on somewhere about another gospel that you should be cursed. We're meant to know what the gospel is, and we are meant to live it. We are meant to breathe it. We are meant to talk it. People are meant to see it, because we are supposed to be salt and light in this world. And if for some reason we are not light, people aren't going to be attracted to us. Every living thing is what's known as phototropic. It tends toward the light. Do you remember when you were at school and you'd done magnets? Yeah, magnets have got a force field around them, and we actually call them north and south. Okay, so when we come into the kingdom of heaven, okay, whatever we were, God is now sanctifying us, he's changing us, he's making us into a new creature. Okay, now, let's just say that this tip here of the people in the darkness, and that's the South Pole, okay? When we've actually gone in, our south is right there, and God's trying to turn us around, okay? Because as he turns us around, the North Pole now becomes here. And north attracts south. But too many times, people come into the church, they're saved, they're saying hallelujah, but they're refusing to change. They're refusing to be sanctified. They're doing things that halt the process. So what happens is, rather than south seeing north, south is actually seeing south. And when two south poles get together, what happens is they repel. They do not attract. We have to be in a place where our mindset is saying, God, continue to change me. Continue to change me into what you want us to be. Because we're meant to become like Christ. And that's all over the word. Where am I? Okay. Why do you... have I read verse 14? I haven't. Okay. All right. Walk uprightly about the truth of the gospel. I said to Peter before them all, if you being a Jew live in the manner of Gentiles and not as Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? Now, if you remember, this question came up as well in Acts 15, where there was a council in Jerusalem. And they said, no, the Gentiles do not need to live like Jews. Like Jews. These are just the particular things that they should actually forego. I'm just going to go straight to verse 16 now. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, which is what some of the circumcision were doing, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. For people should not go around telling you to do X, Y, and Z ceremonial law. Ceremonial law is dead because Christ came and died for us. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. So again, I ask, why do we sometimes act in this manner? Do you remember when I mentioned in James 2:9, but if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors? This is actually why I believe this actually goes on at times, okay? First of all, remember a statement Jesus said, Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. There is a war between our spirit and our flesh. That means that our flesh is trying to do particular things that brings us into sin. But we are called to walk by the Spirit. In Galatians 5:16 it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Just remember, folks, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Jesus Christ. If for some reason we want to be partial, we come under judgment. We are meant to show the love of Christ in our lives. If you remember, and I'm not going to read all of this, I'm just going to read the last couple of verses. But in Matthew 25, 33 to 46, I'll let you just read the last couple of verses. This is actually where Jesus said on Judgment Day, he's going to separate the goat from the sheep. And the goats are going to be cast into hell. Why? Because they didn't do particular things. Okay? I'll just read these last two, just so that you know. Then he will answer them, saying, "Assuredly, I say to you, insomuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." Fifth was, "When I was hungry, did you feed me? When I was in prison, did you visit me? When I was sick, did you pray for me?" Etc., etc. Look, we can visit people in prison. We can visit people in hospital. We can pray for people. We can do a lot of things, but sometimes we refuse to because it's just in the too much to do box. The minimum we can do is intercede for someone. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So I say, do not be in judgment through partiality. We need to watch and pray. We need to watch and pray. We need to make sure that we do three things always, because some people are only doing one or two. We must read our word, we must fellowship, and we must pray. If there's any one of those that you are not doing, you will not grow in the way that God wants you to grow. There are many opportunities where we can be doing these things. And when we don't, we pigeonhole ourselves with the world. We start talking foolishness. I mentioned even about the boxing, how there are some people who want a particular person to win just because of the color of their skin. We've got other things in our press right now about Meghan and Harry. And you've got one camp saying they're only doing this to Meghan because she's black. Well, number one, she's not black. She's of mixed heritage. And why are people saying that she's black? People come out with comments like, well, that's what they say, isn't it? Because they've got some black in them, they're black. Don't allow people to define you. God defines you. Okay? All right, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you show us the truth. You actually show us how to love. You can show us, Father God, that we are to walk by your spirit and nothing else. Father God, we ask that you come into our lives more and more. You come closer to us. You lead us. You protect us. You guide us. Father God, if there's anything in our heart, we ask, Father, that you not only show us, but you show us how, Father, to actually move on from this, so that we are truly transformed, so that we can give our bodies as a living sacrifice, which is only the necessary thing that you deserve. Father God, we ask that no matter what happens, you do whatever it takes to protect us from all kinds of viruses. Sometimes we pray for one, two, and three people, but Father God, I even ask now that you protect this nation from the viruses that are around the world. I ask you now, Father, because I know you can. You are awesome. You made everybody. You made us to worship you, and worship you we shall, because every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that you are Lord. You are the Alpha and you are the Omega. So Father God, we bow down to your kingship. We ask that your kingship is in our homes, in our families, in our communities, and in our church. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.